Thank you. It's good to see everyone this morning and appreciate the prayers and ask that you would continue to pray for me this morning that the Lord would be blessed in what is said. My wife sends her regards. We have had some kids last night that picked up some kind of croup stuff, so please pray for them. They hated missing this morning and want you to be in prayer for my family. I'd mentioned to some of the folks this morning that we are in a transition process of moving back down south, and so we're in the process of packing up and moving and heading back to Florida to my hometown where the Lord will bless us. I'll be able to assist with serving the church that I grew up in McClinney, Florida. So please pray for us during that process as well. It's good to see everybody again this morning and so thankful for everybody's participation in worship so far, and want to commend these young folks that are up here. It's good to see young folks on the front row of a church. Oftentimes, everybody scrambles to get to the back row, but it's good to see these young men and young ladies up here and them participating in worship and some of these young men helping lead songs. It's a wonderful blessing to see in the church. And some of you older folks that like to hide in the back could come up and make you feel younger to sit with younger people from time to time too. The message that I want to speak on this morning, with the Lord being our helper, basically follows three topics this morning. And what I want you to think about this morning as we look at the latter part of the book of Hebrews, we'll start in Hebrews chapter 11, but go on into Hebrews chapter 12, is three things. I want you to think about looking back, looking up, and looking ahead. I think in the Hebrew letter we have a wonderful prescription for us as God's people as we try to endure the challenges that come in life, try to honor Him as we worship as a congregation, as we try to honor God as a family. I believe that Paul, by the inspiration of God, has given us some wonderful instructions. So we'll start reading at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 39. While you're turning there, remember that as God inspired men of old to write His book, to write these 66 books of the Bible, remember that He didn't inspire them to write the chapters and verses in the Bible. You know, we have that, and that helps us segment the Bible and pick up where we've left off, and for the most part it makes sense as we look at the chapters and verses. But I want to start at the latter part of Hebrews chapter 11, and I want us to look at a thought that carries on into Hebrews chapter 12. Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 39, he says, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." Then he takes up and says, Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What we have here, by the inspiration of God, is a wonderful encouragement for us as God's people. I was thinking, as this message was rattling through my brain over the past couple of weeks, what a wonderful blessing we have as God's people, as the New Testament church. We have the blessing of better things as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today. What a blessing we have to know that we're on this side of the cross, that we understand that Christ has died for us. And Paul encourages us in this to run the race that's set before us. We also have the benefit, by the inspiration of God, to have the Apostle Paul's last words as he pens his last letters to those that he held dear, those that were his sons in the ministry. One of his sons in the ministry was the young man Timothy. And as Paul is writing some of his last words, he encourages Timothy along the same lines. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 7, Paul would say to Timothy, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." This echoes what we read in Hebrews chapter 12 about running a race. So Paul tells us in two areas here that the Christian life is like a race. It's like a fight. And Paul says at the end of his life that he has fought a good fight. He has finished his course. He has kept the faith. What a wonderful blessing we have there in those words. Paul, at the end of his life, he says, I've run the race. I've fought a good fight. And as we read the book of Acts and read other places in the Word of God, we see that he had his challenges, didn't he? It wasn't a bed of roses throughout Paul's ministry. But here Paul says, I have trusted in God's promises. I have taken upon me the yoke of Jesus. I have strove to fulfill my calling as a minister of the gospel. I have endured the trials and the temptations of life. Paul would write in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he would encourage God's people to fight the good fight of faith. He would say to lay hold of eternal life. He would say that this was our calling. He says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. He says, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. My friends, this morning I want you to understand that as disciples of Christ, we're called to run the race that's set before us. We're called to fight the good fight of faith. We're called to lay hold on eternal life. Now, in all three of these passages, in Hebrews chapter 11 and 12, in 2 Timothy, in 1 Timothy, we see here that the Apostle Paul teaches us that there is no room for us as God's people to live our lives on cruise control. You see that? Paul did not ever let the moss gather under his feet. As he was living his life, even at the latter part of his life, he said, I have fought the good fight. My friends, I want to encourage you this morning as we look into the Word of God to not allow yourself to get into cruise control. And that's easy for us to do as individuals, isn't it? That's easy for us to do as families. It's really easy for us to do as churches, especially churches that have been around for a long time. Rocky Mount Church has been here for many, many, many years. And it's a wonderful blessing. That's a testimony in this community, but it's also something we have to be careful of, because sometimes we think, well, the church has been here for 90 years, 100 years, 150 years. Things are just going to continue on as they always have. It's easy to get into cruise control. But the Apostle Paul teaches us in these passages that we've read that we're to be fighting the good fight of faith. We're to be running with patience the race that's set before us. You know, over the last couple of weeks, we've seen many changes come in our nation, changes that some of us would have never imagined occurring. You know, things that have been come to pass over the last couple of weeks in the high halls of government and our Supreme Court that we at one time could never imagine coming to pass has happened. You want to know why that happens? Well, I want you to understand there is not just one tipping point that you can look at and say, well, here is when it happened. But I believe that we can safely say that the things that have happened in our nation, the things that have come to pass of late, is because many of us have been on cruise control. You know, the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have that tendency to cruise along. And if we take an honest assessment of our own lives, the problems that we have marriage problems. Many of our marriage problems can be traced back to us being on cruise control, fighting the temptations that inevitably come in life, fighting the distractions of this world. Many of them come because of going into cruise control. Well, the Apostle Paul encourages us this morning not to coast in life. As a church, as individuals, as families, not to just coast along. Again, human nature thinks, well, things are always going to continue the way that they've always been. Well, no, things do not continue the way that they've been if we're cruising along. What happens is things regress if we put ourselves in cruise control as God's people. That's why Paul says we're to fight. That's why Paul says we're to run with patience the race that's set before us. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Well, what does that mean? Well, he would say in the prior verses to flee some things, flee the love of money, to follow after righteousness, to follow after godliness, follow after faith, love, and so forth. Paul says, do not coast, do not cruise along. Now, as we think about the book of Hebrews, we're going to look at several different verses in the book of Hebrews. And I contend this morning that one of the big issues that faced the Hebrew church, those brethren and sisters that made up the Hebrew church, was that they did the very thing that Paul was warning against, and they had slipped into cruise control. Notice some of the verses in the book of Hebrews. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to skip around a little bit, but notice what the Apostle Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. He tells that church, he says, to call to remembrance the former days, in which, he says, after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, he says, partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while ye became companions of them that were so used. So Paul says, remember some former days. Remember some former days. Apparently they had lapsed into some complacency as a church. He says, look back on the time after you were illuminated. Isn't that the way of human nature? Can you think back during the time when you were on fire for the Lord? Perhaps it was the time when the Spirit quickened your heart, or you had you were really zealous for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is saying to them here, remember those former days. He would say, and he back up a little bit more in Hebrews chapter 5, around verse 12, he said, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, he says, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Sometimes we think about, well, they were just progressing along the way, that here were some young Christians that needed milk. No, I believe here were some that once partook in the meat, but because they had gone into cruise control, they needed to get back on the milk. Remember, notice what he says here. He says, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. Well, what happened? Apparently, they had entered into cruise control. Apparently, they had started coasting along as a church. Another one, he backing up a little bit more, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, he would say, how shall we escape, he says, if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. What was he saying? He was saying, don't rest on your laurels. Don't become complacent. Don't get on cruise control as a church, because when you do that, you regress as far as your understanding of the doctrine. You regress as far as what you should be doing as far with practical things in life. He says, don't neglect so great a salvation. Again, it's easy. Many of our churches have been here forever. It's easy to think, well, things are just going to continue to be the way they've always been here in this place. My friend, you as an individual, as a member of the body of Christ, if you're not faithful to continue to study the Word of God, to continue to pray that the Spirit of God would bless us as we gather here, to continue to train up your own household in the things of God, things will not stay the same, my friends. They will regress, and we'll find ourselves losing ground in every area of life. As a nation, as a church, as families, as individuals, it now is not the time to rest on our laurels. In Hebrews chapter 3, you remember what Paul would write there? He would say, but exhort one another daily. And what does he say? While it is called today, lest any of you should be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we are made partakers of Christ, he says, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Notice here he says, exhort one another daily, and he gives a little extra oomph to it, while it is called today. Paul gives a sense of urgency. The word exhort, it means to build up, to encourage in the things of God, to encourage in the doctrinal and practical matters of God's Word. He's saying we exhort one another daily while it's called today. He says it's urgent that we encourage and build up and lift one another up in the things of God on a regular basis. Well, why are we to do that? Why do we not have the luxury of being on cruise control as disciples of Christ? Well, he says right here, He says, you exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We have to be vigilant on a daily basis because we're constantly confronted with deceitful sin. Have we not seen that on the newspapers and on the television here the last couple of weeks? You know, what is it to us if someone wants to make the choice to marry the person that they love? Who are we to say what love is? Who are we to define the bounds of marriage? My friends, that's the deceitfulness of sin. You know, the Word of God calls it an abomination, and it's not pleasing unto God. So we have to build ourselves up, build up one another daily in the Word of God, run that race daily, fight the good fight of faith daily because of the deceitfulness of sin. What a wonderful encouragement we have from the Word of God. And the latter part of Hebrews chapter 11 and the first part of Hebrews chapter 12 is the trumpet call to do just this. You know, it's if you think along the lines of running a race, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 is like the starting pistol being fired off for us this morning. to see our discipleship as a race. To see that we as God's people, we're called to run the race that's set before us with zeal and with energy. As Paul would say, we're to lay aside every weight and lay aside the sin which doth so easily beset us. That sin that clings to us. That sin that distracts us as God's people. He's saying it's time to get off of cruise control and it's time to get serious about your race. So we think about this morning. As I opened up my remarks, I want us to think about three points this morning. I want us to think about looking back, looking up, and looking ahead, because the Apostle Paul references all three of these in the opening passage that I read this morning. First of all, the Apostle Paul says that we're to look back at some things. I think sometimes as the church, we can look back and allow the things of the past to handicap us as far as future discipleship. Let me explain just a little bit. Sometimes we allow traditions of the past. Sometimes we allow the blessings of the past to hinder us today, to hinder us in our service to the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about abandoning the doctrinal principles that we hold from the Word of God, to abandon that faith that was once delivered to the saints, but I think sometimes we get into the mindset of that things in the kingdom of God won't ever be as great as they were back when Grandpa lived, back when Grandma lived. But there is a healthy looking back that we are to take encouragement from as God's people. And Paul tells us this. This is what the Apostle Paul was referencing in the latter part of Hebrews chapter 11. Again, he says, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." And then in chapter 12 he says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." So Paul is pointing us to the past to encourage us to move forward in our discipleship. Well, what did Paul mean here? Well, many of us have, hopefully most of us have read the book of Hebrews. What we have in Hebrews chapter 11 are witnesses that are put in God's Word to encourage us in our future discipleship. Now, a couple of points here. I want you to understand that those witnesses of Hebrews chapter 11, they are an encouragement to us because we see by their testimony that we can indeed serve the Lord in the midst of great adversity. Isn't that a blessing to think about? You know, I'm not going to be the Joel Osteen, everything's rosy type of guy this morning. We have a battle to fight in this world. We have a great challenge with ourselves, don't we? With our flesh. Every day, the biggest battle that I fight is with me. We have a battle with the enemy that has corrupted everything around us in the world. We have that adversary in the devil that the Bible says he's as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We face persecution from others. But what we see in Hebrews chapter 11 is that it can be done. The fight of of faith, the race that's set before us, it can be run because we see it in the lives of others before us. You know, you read in Hebrews chapter 11, though, many of those saints of old and how they faced great adversity, yet they maintained faith. We see they faced great persecution, yet they continued to press forward in their service to God. They fought the flesh as well. But we see that by God's grace, they endured the trials and tribulations and the difficulties of life. You think about the psalmist David, and you think about the transgressions that he committed. David, the one that committed adultery and committed murder, he was the one that was called the friend of God, or the one that was a man after God's own heart. You know, Abraham, the one who doubted, was the one that was called the friend of God. They were blessed, and we see in Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham and others that they died on the other side of the cross, on the back side of the cross, yet we have them as examples and witnesses for us. Now, if we think again along lines of a race, we have all of those saints in Hebrews chapter 11. You know, they're like the people there at the finish line that's cheering you on, that, you know, we made it by God's grace, and you can make it too. It can be done. You know, we think about some of the dear loved ones that have been influential in our lives, perhaps people that once filled these pews here, and, you know, perhaps you look back at their challenges that they faced, the times that they lived in, the difficulties that they suffered, yet they continue to praise the Lord. Paul says we have those that we can look at. We have these witnesses. What a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful blessing to look back on examples of old to encourage us in our future walk. Now, we don't look back in the past and say, well, you know, things are never going to be like they were 50 years ago. You know, we're never going to have the meetings that we had like we had when Grandpa was around. No, we look at those examples of faith and they encourage us to move ahead. Again, Paul says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Another example that we have here is we look at the saints of old in Hebrews chapter 11 is we have that reminder that there's something better for us, don't we? Notice what he says here, going back a little bit to Hebrews chapter 11. He says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, what did the apostle mean here when he wrote these last two verses? Well, he was encouraging us as God's people that there is something better beyond this old world. You know, just think of those Old Testament saints. They died again on the backside of the cross. Here was those that had examples of faith that did not live to see the Messiah come and lay down his life for the sins of his people. You know, what great faith they had. You know, we, as God's people today, we live on this side of the cross. We know Christ died. Christ laid down his life for the elect, don't we? We know that today. We live on this side of the cross. We know that Christ finished the work of salvation. But understand, we are still pilgrims and strangers in this world, my friends. And there is still something better waiting for us. There was something better waiting for them, and there's something better waiting for us. Notice again the words there. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. What this means is that this world isn't our home. You know, Christ has died for us. Christ rose from the dead. Christ is coming back some sweet day to call us home. What a wonderful blessing to know. As we run our race here in this world, as we struggle, as we face the adversary in this world, as we battle the flesh, that there's something better waiting for us. You know, we understand from the Word of God that someday these all corruptible bodies are going to put on incorruption. When's that going to happen? Well, after the last born-again child of God is born again, the Lord's coming back. Well, when is that going to be? Well, when is the right time? But we're encouraged in that. We're encouraged as we read the book of Hebrews to see that there's something better waiting for us. You know, we look back to go forward. We look back and we see those that, like the Apostle Paul, that fought the good fight of faith. We see those saints of old in Hebrews chapter 11. Perhaps, again, we have those that influenced us in our discipleship that are no longer with us. There's an encouragement in knowing there's something better than this old world. There's something better than this old corruptible flesh that we fight with on a daily basis. So what a wonderful blessing. We see that there were those in old times that fought the good fight of faith, that ran with patience the race that set before them. We can do it as well. Isn't that wonderful to think about? Looking back, we don't look back just for nostalgia's sake to see the way things used to be. We get encouragement from those saints of old to move forward. I had a conversation with somebody just this past week, and you know, a lot of people are discouraged about the way that our nation is going. You know, certainly there are things for us to be concerned about as God's people. But isn't it a wonderful blessing to know that the lines between right and wrong aren't as obscured as they used to be? You know what? I think as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we may have some of the greatest opportunities before us in the days to come to encourage people in the truth, to encourage people in the doctrine of God's Word. We see that. So we look back. Another motivation to run with patience, the race that's set before us, is that we look up. You know, as we read these verses in Hebrews chapter 12 and we look at the Apostle Paul, about him encouraging us about fighting the good fight of faith and him writing about he's finished his course and so forth, it's easy for us to think, well, that means that we're to take the credit for it. No, the Bible says that we're to look up. Who do we look up to? We look up to Jesus. He says again in chapter 12, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race before us, comma, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." We as God's people, aren't you thankful this morning to know that our hope is not in some man-made institution of this world? Our hope is not in our federal government. Our hope is not in the Supreme Court. Our hope is not in any man. But we look up to Jesus Christ, the one that was the author and the finisher of our faith. That's that verse right there, verse 2, is a verse that you can take people to point them to the source and the hope of our salvation. He's the author. The word author means pioneer. We think about pioneers who settled this country and moved out west. Well, what were they? They were the first of our people to go and inhabit a place. Well, the pioneer, the author of our faith, was Jesus Christ. How was he the author of our faith? Well, it says it there in Hebrews, by enduring the cross and despising the shame. I tell you, he perfected our salvation. We know that occurred because the Bible says he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is our Redeemer. He is the foundation of our faith. So we look up as we run the race that's set before us, as we move forward as God's people, we look up unto the Lord. It says, looking unto Jesus. Now, this just doesn't mean that we take a cursory view of Jesus. You know, preaching that just takes a cursory view of Jesus isn't really preaching the whole counsel of God. You know, we're to look. The word looking here means to gaze longingly, to gaze contemplatively at Jesus, as Sue says, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, as we think about him being the author and the finisher of our faith, he is the perfect example that we're to look to, aren't we? You know, Paul would say, be ye followers of me, but Paul would preface that with, that he was a follower of Christ. Jesus Christ, he gives us a perfect example of how we're to live out our faith from start to finish. What did he do? Well, he trusted the Father. He did the Father's will from start to end. Are you looking unto Jesus this morning? I tell you, my friends, if you have gotten on cruise control, you've taken your eyes off the Lord. You know, if you're buried in worry, buried in sorrow, buried in frustration because of the way things are going in your life, the way things are going in this nation, perhaps the way that things are going in the church, put your eyes on the Lord. Look unto Jesus, Paul would say, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's the encouragement that we look to. We look up as we run this race. We look into Him as the author and the finisher of our faith. We don't want to forget either. He's what? The sustainer of our faith. Understand, our faith is not something that we have created within ourselves. He's the one that has given us the faith. He's the sustainer of our faith. I think in Hebrews chapter 13, speaking of the Lord, Paul writes Paul's prayer, if you will, was that He would make us perfect. He said, make you perfect in verse 21, in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We look unto the Lord because He is the source of our strength. We take our focus off the problems and put our focus on the Lord, and we're able to see that the troubles that we have in this world are but a minor thing. They're but a small obstacle in light of what the Lord has done for us and the example that He's set before us. Jesus would say Himself that in this world, He says, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Isn't that a blessing to think about? So we should not even give it one thought that we have something to do with the strength that we have. It all comes from the Lord. Our strength comes from the Lord. Peter understood that, didn't he? 1 Peter chapter 4, we turn there. Peter says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards, he says, of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, notice here, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Peter said, look up to the Lord. Paul says, we're to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And then he gives us a third example here of what we're to do as God's people. Notice he says we're to look ahead. Look forward. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12. And in closing, I want us to look at this third point here. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, he says, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He says we're to look up to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Notice it says, who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross. Well, what was the joy that was set before Him? Well, I want to tell you, my friends, He was going to lay down His life for the sins of His people. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? We think about what happened on the cross, and it should move us to tears to think of the suffering of Christ, to think about the pain that He endured for us. And Christ Himself articulated before He was led up and crucified, He articulated Himself the great suffering and great agony and the pain that He was going to endure. But in the midst of that, the Word of God says, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. Well, what was that joy? Well, He was going to lay down His life for the sins of His people. He was going to fulfill the work that He came into this world to do. And my friends, it says that was joy before Christ. I want to ask you this question. How much more so should that be joy for us, the wonderful recipients of the work of Christ on the cross? That's a motivator, isn't it? You know, I work in education, and one of the big keys of education is figuring out what motivates kids. what carrot can be dangled before a kid to get them to learn a certain concept or to act and behave a certain way. As a child of God, the motivator that we have is what Christ has done for us. Sometimes people say, well, if I believed what you believed about the sovereignty of God, about the doctrine of election and Christ dying for the elect, that, you know, I wouldn't worry about doing anything at all. No, we see on the foundation of Scripture that should motivate and encourage us to run with patience the race that's set before us, to fight the good fight of faith. We have that joy that's set before us. You ever run some kind of race, a half marathon or a marathon? What happens is, as you get towards the end of that race, your productivity, your miles or minutes per mile, they increase the closer you get to the finish line. And sometimes as you run those races, the fastest minutes that you run are when you see that finish line. Child of God, we understand what awaits us as the finish line here in this world. You know, there's not any uncertainty about it, my friends. All that Christ died for will be in His presence some sweet day. That's the joy that we have. We look ahead to that joy. You know, the battle's been won, my friends. You know, in the natural sense, if our soldiers knew how battles would turn out, do you think that would encourage and motivate them? I believe it would. Well, in the battle of discipleship, we know who wins. You know, I've read the back of the book. I know who wins. You know, we know that Christ conquered death, hell, and the grave. We know that there is joy that's set before us. My friends, sometimes people get all bent out of shape because they don't understand that biblical concept that those that Christ died for will be in heaven some sweet day. But we have that hope, don't we, friends? We have that joy that's set before us. I think of an example as I was reading through the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 10, Paul gives us a tangible example of this playing out. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm not going to take much longer this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, speaking of their discipleship, for time's sake, verse 34, he says, speaking of them, he says, "For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance." He says to them, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." So here he was speaking of them giving in a sacrificial sort of way. And what does he say here about them? He says that they took joyfully the spoiling of their goods. They took of their material substance and ministered to Paul. They ministered unto others. Well, how were they able to do that with joy? Because they understood that their joy wasn't in the things of this world. Their joy wasn't in the circumstances of the present time. But their joy was beyond. Their joy was in the Lord and in the things that the Lord had done for them. So we see here, as God's people, because of the joy that's set before us, we're to lay aside every weight. We're to lay aside whatever it may be, the love of possessions, the entertainments of this world, the lusts of the flesh. We're to lay them aside. He says here, "Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that's set before us." What wonderful encouragement we have to press forward in strength, to press forward with courage, to press forward with hope, and have our eyes fixed on the indestructible, the unending joy that comes in the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to think about, my friends? We look back to those faithful witnesses that endured persecution, endured trials, endured tribulations. They were looking forward to a better thing. We look up unto the Lord as a source of our strength. We gaze unto Him. We look unto Him through His Word. We commune with Him through prayer. And we gain courage because we know that He finished the work of salvation. And we look ahead because we see the finish line. We see the joy that's set before us. When we do that, my friends, we will be found pleasing the Lord, whatever the circumstances may be in this world. Lord, help us not to go on cruise control. May we look back, may we look up, may we look ahead, and be found praising the Lord. I pray the Lord would add his blessing.